Well, good late morning. I'd like to first acknowledge a couple of my co-authors who are sitting here in the audience, Lasima Womack and Ramona Chapman. And I'd also like to acknowledge Dr. Anthony Tin, who's walking down the aisle here, because it was his ideal in our conversation that started me moving forward on this. My slide that says I don't have any financial connections is missing, so I don't have any financial, I'll just state that. But I do have biases. I'm biased toward the city of Detroit, and you'll hear it in my presentation, and hopefully I'll be as objective as possible. I've also told Stuart that there's no way I can give this talk in 15 minutes, so he just has to stop me. The last time I changed my slides was a few minutes before I came in here, hopefully to get the information that you want to hear and want to share. Okay, well, I'm from Detroit, and I think Detroit is a wonderful place, but again, I'm biased. There's a dark cloud over my city right now. Detroit is the 18th largest city in the United States. It's down from the 10th largest in 2000. And it's actually down from the 4th largest back in 1940s and 50s. Detroit has 3 retired city workers collecting a pension for every 2 currently working. Many of the 61 largest U.S. cities are plagued with the same kind of retirement legacy costs that sent Detroit into Chapter 9 bankruptcy this summer. We're the largest city in the country to have ever been put into bankruptcy. We actually have an emergency manager to thank for that. Notice there's no bias there. Okay, Detroit was founded in 1701. Our health department was established about 100 years later in 1825, and there's been different changes in our health department over the years, and you have to trust me on those changes. But where are we at today? What led to the Detroit Health Department becoming the Institute for Population Health? The Detroit Health Department had over 600 employees back in 2002, and today we have 3. Not 300, today we have 3. To understand this, you really have to understand what's been going on in Detroit. Now, Detroit has a negative or a bad reputation. Things such as our population, people exiting the city, have been blamed on things such as in 1967 we had a riot in the city of Detroit. I was there. I didn't think it was a race riot, but that's what went out across the media. And in many major cities across the country in 1967, I don't know if you remember, but there were riots in Los Angeles, in Chicago, in New York, in just about all the major cities. So the press and history wants to say that the reason why Detroit's population started going down was that our white population started leaving the city after the riots in 1967. But if you actually look at the numbers, you'll see that people were leaving back in the 1950s, so 20 years before. In the 60s and 70s, there's been a constant decrease. The main reason that I put to it is multifactorial, but the main reason was, if you look back, you'll see that the highway system started coming in. Detroit was the first city in the country to have a major highway. And we were the automotive capital of the world, probably still are. But when the highway system started coming in, and our highway system came in until the 1970s, that's when you can see that those drops were related to. Now, these drops in population are important because they dictate what our tax base is going to be. And this is a matter of economics. If you have an infrastructure that's built on supporting over 2 million people, and now you only have less than 1 million people to support it, you don't have the tax base to keep your programs going. This slide just goes you a little bit more in detail in that 10-year period that we're going to be focusing on. You can see the population is dropping. And after 2006, I don't have any data, because one thing that happens is as we transition from our health department, this is health department data, over to our Institute of Population Health, we don't have the people to do this work anymore. But the numbers are dropping. So I'm going to, what I had proposed to do was have our chief health officers from that time period of 2002 to 2013, and they were actually going to come in and do a panel discussion for you. But we don't have enough time for that this year. So next year in 2014, please come back. 4 of these 5 people have already agreed to be on the panel for next year. So Dr. Noble Mazur, he was the chief officer and appointed by Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick, followed by Phyllis Meadows when he left to take another position. Mayor Kilpatrick also appointed her. Mayor Kilpatrick had to resign, and our next mayor appointed Dr. Kelvin Trent as a chief officer. After he lost in a special election, our new and current mayor, Dave Bing, appointed the last three chief officers, Yvonne Anthony, Loretta Davis, and Bernice Anthony. Now, I put this slide in. It's totally out of order from the way I wanted to present the talk, but I think people wanted to know about the money. So if you look and see what our budget was starting back in 2002, this slide reflects those health officers and the budget they had when they came in. And if you look, the budget is divided up between what we got from the general funds and what you get from grants. And this is a simplified version of what was actually happening. But if you notice down in 2011, I wasn't able to get you the right information, and I don't know why. Hopefully next year I'll be able to get you the right budget for 2011 and 2012 for the health department. And while we have this Institute of Population Health, which is now a nonprofit private institution that doesn't have to share their information with me. Let me skip that one. So I mentioned the mayors because the leadership is very important. I think some of the panels elicited to, you know, having your leaders involved, but having the leaders understand what public health is turns out to be crucial. And when I look at our mayors, which are the leaders in our city for the past 10 years, only one of them who took office actually had a public health agenda. The others had, for example, Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick had a vision for the city of Detroit that involved healthy neighborhoods and healthy communities, but he didn't have a plan in place on how he wanted to do that. Mayor Dave Bing felt that public health, and feels today, that public health does not belong as a city function, and that, you know, it can be taken up care of by the county, and if the county can't take care of it, somebody else can. And we'll get to that. And Kevin Orr, our emergency manager, I don't know what he cares about, to be honest with you. So can anybody see, and you have to keep me in line with the time, I'm serious. So could anyone see what these Institutes of Population Health was that was coming to the city of Detroit? When talking to people, the answer is yes, but it wasn't the health officers who could see it coming. I couldn't see it coming, and I was sitting at the table with them through many of their administrations. We didn't see it coming. I was too close. I missed it. They were there. It wasn't part of their plan, and when they left and our conversations leading up to this conversation, they didn't know it either. The only people who knew what was coming was the health officers who were appointed by our current mayor Bing. And really, all people knew was something had to change. So what I did was I interviewed five of the last health officers, and I talked to them about their major challenges and problems that the mayor gave them as the leader of the city. When somebody hires you, they're hiring you because you are going to do what they want you to do. They're not hiring you to do what you want to do. And a lot of times when that happens, there's a lot of conflict. So our health officers were hired by the mayors to carry out the mayor's agendas. And remember, if the mayor doesn't have a vision, it's hard to carry out that agenda. Then I asked the health officer, what were their three biggest challenges? Because I was there, there's lots of challenges. So I asked them what were their three biggest challenges they faced. All of them faced that financial challenge. And then I asked them what they wanted to do, was that in line with the mayor? And then I asked, were they able to meet those challenges, and where did they find their support, and where they found their opposition? So I tried to summarize these in the chart to get through it real quick. And then if I get through it fast enough, then I actually spend some time to actually tell you how they leverage resources to be successful in the things that they were doing. Now, I need to say this at this point, and you guys probably already know this, and I know this too, but I want to say it anyway. The people who stepped into these positions as health officers, I got to know all of them while they were health officers, with the exception of the current one now. They were all, to me, good people with good intentions, and they're very bright people. So when all of them had financial challenges, the mayors, each of them told them, I'm not giving you any more money. That's it. As a matter of fact, some told them, I'm cutting all your money. if you want to have money, you have to go out and find it. They were all very creative, and to me, they all found money in legal ways. I didn't know there was a problem until, like I said, maybe I was just too close, and we'll get to that, okay? But so my point being that these are not people coming in and saying, I'm going to get rid of the health department. You know, I don't like, these are people coming in and saying, how can I make the health department function? How can I make it be successful? Oh, and I shouldn't have did that because I didn't, is there a way to go back? Let's see. Okay, oh, let me see. So the first health officer, Dr. Mazzuro, was appointed by Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick. And again, Mayor Kilpatrick didn't have quite the vision, but he wanted to have healthy neighborhoods and healthy communities. And he wanted to be sure that the kids got great educations. So when he sat down with Dr. Mazzuro, they came up with the concept of promoting wellness. So they went to the Department of Health and Wellness Promotion, and they had a philosophy that generated healthy neighborhoods. But he had to generate some revenue too. So when I asked Dr. Mazzuro, was he able to meet the challenges that the mayor set for him, he said yes and no. But I did not have enough time really to in my position to be successful. I put a lot of things in place, but they weren't sustainable because after he left, those things fell out of place. Where did he find his support at? And this is key. He found his support from the mayor who appointed him, from city council, which became a problem for many of the other health officers. He found support from hospitals, the Michigan Department of Community Health, and the community itself. He had more support than anybody, but he had no new money that was infused into the system. And his example that he gave was Mayor Bloomberg in New York. You know, they didn't have any money either. Mayor Bloomberg went out and found money and resources to institute his program for obesity and smoking cessation 5 minutes, okay? But our mayor said, you know, I want healthy neighborhoods, but I want you to go out and find the money to do it. So if you have a leadership in place that help put resources behind you, you can be successful. And if you remember the budget slide, when Dr. Mazzuro left, the budget had went down by $10 million from the general fund. So he was still able to sustain, but he wasn't able to maintain. The next one was Dr. Meadows, and Dr. Meadows was appointed by Mayor Kilpatrick and then reappointed by Ken Cockrell. Ken Cockrell was the only mayor who actually had a vision for public health for the city of Detroit, and he was only mayor for 9 months. Okay, so that, you know, kind of tells you that the one person who had the vision, and he actually called me back to do an interview for this. So he understands that there are public health issues. Mental health is his main thing in substance abuse. And when I'm jumping off. Back to Dr. Meadows. By then, Mayor Kilpatrick understood about a little bit better about public health, and he wanted to put together a public health agenda for children, which I thought was wonderful. Okay, his vision kind of tied into Dr. Meadows' vision. Dr. Meadows was concerned about leadership, emergency response, and losing money. And again, he told her there's no new money. And she was able to generate revenues. She was able to leverage resources. And I'll give you the example of the pharmacy. The city of Detroit, for years, our health department did not charge for medications. So if you needed medications, you come to the pharmacy and you would get them. Okay? Well, Dr. Meadows said we have to generate some resources because this is operating in red since its beginning. So we'll charge a minimal fee. But her minimal fee that she charged, city council was against that because city council is like, you know, a lot of us Detroiters, we feel that everything should be free until it's too late. Okay, so she charged a minimum fee, and she was able to turn the pharmacy around and put it in the black within a year. Okay, and the people who utilized the pharmacy did not mind paying that minimum fee. I think it's like $3. It was very minimal. Okay, so and then she partnered with some pharmaceutical companies to do some other things too. But she was able to do that, and she did that not only in pharmacy, she did it in the lab. And so at the end, we had places that were operating in the black. She did it in the primary care clinics, too, and that's important. We had places that were operating strictly in the red were now starting to operate into the black or moving toward it, okay? So that's what I mean by we had good people. Her opposition was her own management team. They didn't want to do things differently. And so she brought along the people who wanted to be along and left behind the people who didn't. Dr. Trent came in, and he was just there for 9 months with Ken Cockrell because they had the same vision as one minute. How do I do this? Let's drop down to Ms. Davis. Something happened. I don't know what happened, okay? But Ms. Loretta Davis was selected by Mayor Bing. She was the second person selected by Mayor Bing, and she was selected by him to come in and look at the corruption and misspending of funds. That kind of blew me away, because remember, I'm there all the time, and so I didn't know any of these things were going on. As a matter of fact, the previous one, Yvonne Anthony, was there, who was not available for me to interview. There was an investigations. This is the first time that I knew investigations were going on. So Ms. Davis came in to kind of, I guess, clean up, and she's going to come and talk to us next year about what she did and why she came in. She was managing cash flow was her agenda, and that was part of the corruption piece. Closing the primary care clinics that I already mentioned were now had been turned around, and closing the pharmacy, what I mentioned, now had been turned around. But by the time Ms. Davis came in, what she said was she came in September, the general funds for the clinic, for the primary care clinic and the pharmacy were already gone. Okay, so something was happening, and I apologize, I don't have time to tell you all those things. And Ms. Davis was faced with the thing from the mayor that the mayor didn't want to see this public health on the City of Detroit books. And so she was faced with closing the health department, trying to transition the health department over to the county, and the county is just as bad off as the city, by the way, or just forming this Institute of Population Health. And she opted to form this Institute of Population Health. And if I'm out of time, I'm out of time. But that's how we got to where we were. And I had some great slides and stories to tell you, but I won't share. Ask questions.